This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
Hey there. Ever wonder what happens to all those amazing screenplays that never make it to the big screen? Well, wonder no more. Welcome to Table Read Podcast, where we bring those undiscovered gems to life. Picture this, talented actors giving incredible performances with the occasional laugh or blooper thrown in, produced by award-winning pros. From drama to comedy, TV pilots to feature films, there's something for everyone. And guess what? We release new episodes every week, so don't forget to hit that subscribe button. Table Read Podcast, where great stories finally get their chance to shine.
Welcome back to Mother May I Sleep With Podcast. I'm Molly McAleer. And wow, today's episode, we really did work to bring this to you today. Whether or not it's going to be exactly like the audio journey that we sometimes go on this podcast, this episode was very much loved. It was very much fought for. It's like a difficult pregnancy. I have with me today my friend Marissa Fauci, who frankly, I don't even know. When I was going through my brain about how I might have known her, I just asked her to do this podcast because we've been following each other on Twitter forever and she always makes me laugh. And I feel like she's a lifetimey personality. And I was like racking my brain trying to think of how we knew each other. And then for some reason, like she mentioned she was in Austin and I was like, did we meet in a bathroom drunk? Because I feel like that's the kind of like girl you are, you know? And so all that said, Marissa and I tried to record most of this last week and then we did, but the first 20 minutes were lost. So we're now re-recording the first 20 minutes. If it does sound like there's a shift or whatever, about 20 minutes into it, then that's why. Hi, honey. How are you?
Hi, I am good. I mean, you know how I'm feeling, but I'm ready to do this.
Can I just say that like we were chatting briefly. I was telling you like my cats get me up really early and you sent me a picture.
of this a blind big cat. Black,
is it like a Maine Coon or something?
I don't know the names of cats. Just like you thought my 75-pound boxer was a Chihuahua, that's what I think of every cat. I just know that what it's orange tabby cats that are mean assholes, right?
I think they're like, I think they're conniving.
Yeah, well, I think this is a Maine Coon, whatever you just said, and it's blind.
And I wrote, I wrote back like, what a beautiful cat. And you wrote back blind. It took me out. I was dead. Like, no. Okay. So let's get into this movie. Your Husband Is Mine. We've already talked about this movie in great detail, but what drew you to this movie when I sent you a selection?
Everyone loves a crazy bitch neighbor film. I feel like if you're going to like cringe hard on the Lifetime film, it's going to be one of these, like The Girl Next Door. I mean, the twist here is that I guess they dated before, but you know, Girl Next Door, crazy. I'm going to kill the innocent girlfriend who is doing nothing, or wife who's done nothing at all, is going to die because I'm obsessed with this guy. Those are great movies.
And I such loved a it. Mediocre man to be obsessed with.
Oh, just like golf all day.
Yeah, golf all day. Okay, so let's get into like the main part of the movie. So we open up on a city at night. I think it's supposed to be like LA or somewhere near the area. And then we cut to this exterior of, I mean, I wrote in my notes here an expensive looking suburban home. And I feel like either they mismatched the shots or I was delusional the first time I watched it, because in reality, in the daytime, both of these houses look kind of bogus.
They suck. They like fucking suck. And like, how did they afford them? I mean, what, they're like, I feel like they're more townhomes than anything because of their size.
Yeah. Or sometimes they look really big from outside, but then in reality, you just know they're not working with great space. Like it's a real, I don't know if there's such a thing as like a curb hogger, but it feels like something that just takes up unnecessary space. So there's this like old man in his house watching a Western movie by himself. And I did have a thought when I was playing my notes. Do you think it's like, is it always racist when an old man loves a Western movie?
No.
Okay.
No, it's not.
Okay, good. I didn't want it to be, but like the more I wanted to like wax poetic on how sweet it is that I think some old men love Westerns, I was like, well, wait, what's that really about? You know what I mean?
No, I think every old man loves Westerns, just like men, like dads love World War II facts.
Right. Okay.
Like war movies. Yeah.
That, well, that's like, there's a big crossover in our IMDb. There's a lot of guys who like review Westerns and war movies and then also Lifetime movies on their IMDb review pages. And it shocks me every time. But like, I guess, hey guys, if you're listening, I did not mean to call you racist. Okay.
Yeah.
But yeah, so it's like a total like just scream moment. That's like kind of how I would summarize this scene where he's like, hello. And he like gets back to his couch and then he calls out hello again. He like goes to the back door. It's a fake out. The intruder is inside the house and like, I don't know, strangles him or puts a bag over his head or something. So then we meet Katie for the first time. Katie is endlessly athletic. She is in 24/7 workout gear. I do think I said in the original intro, I don't know if this will be a thread throughout, but I was going to say, last time
we talked about how ripped she was.
Yeah. And I also said that I think she has an eating disorder, but I'm going to take that back. What's that thing where it's like you work out all the time?
I forgot.
Or something.
There is a thing called orthorexia where you are just obsessed. I think it's not obsessed, but you're very controlling of what you eat.
Yeah, no, this girl just like, I think we get to it a little later on, but she doesn't really have anything to do except for work out. So she comes out on the lawn wearing like khakis and a purple crop top and this like bright teal towel on her head. And she sees that there's a new neighbor moving into the old man's house next door because he had just passed away. We don't even know that yet, but she sees just like the back of this woman like leave the house and has her hair down. It's like long brunette hair. And she's wearing a teal top that like matches the towel that Katie's wearing on her head. I wanted there to be a metaphor, but I don't think there was, but basically the way this woman, Louisa, we're about to meet, she directs the movers in her house in a very like never needed a man type of way. She knows where she wants everything to go. She's not worried about saying it. She's not. Whereas Katie, that's the opposite of Katie. Katie would move her couch by herself. So
yes. And then I mentioned another reason why I chose this movie is because this actress looks like Caitlin Bristow from The Bachelorette.
That's right. And you said,
yeah, I remember, because I remember you said this character, wait, they've showed her face already, right? She's seen how she looks in the front.
Yeah. I'll tell you guys now that she's the same lead actress from Killer Dream Home. Not the one who was like the seductress, like interior designer, the girl who is the actual home flipper. It's her. And she does this like very intense performance as always. I think that's what she's best at. But the chick who plays Katie is very like even keeled. She's a very like, and I mean this in the best way possible, run of the mill type actress.
Yeah. Well, so then she later,
she brings, she takes fruit basket.
The fruit basket. Yes. The fruit basket. We have to go there.
So she like is like, okay, I'm gonna skip over to the neighbor's house and drop off this new fruit basket. And it's like, I mean, it's just spares from around her house. So we've got like a stray banana. You pointed out that there's just like a mysterious box in
a box.
I think might have been like whiskey rocks or something like you just get at the office. And there was also like these, it was just unattainable. Like it wasn't professional enough looking to feel like Katie went out and got a fruit basket, but it wasn't so haphazard. Did you mention last
time the grapes?
The grapes were fully intact on the vine. They were all on the vine and they were red grapes. And you never see that. Whenever you buy grapes, they're always falling off the goddamn vine. Like half of them are off. And I don't know, like, I think I would have appreciated it more if it was like in a ceramic bowl with like a stray shampoo sample and like, you know, maybe a mini toothpaste or like a nail file. Like I would have, it seemed like a little bit like a collection of stuff that was going to go bad the next day.
Yeah. This was a metal wired basket that was like used for a plant or something and then just thrown.
And I say, over. Once you're there, just go crazy with it. Just start putting in things that you don't want that they could use. I think that that's a nice present. So she goes to a golf course, Rancho Park, and she's playing a round of golf with her husband. They are at this golf course constantly. Her husband, Dan, I guess, is mostly there for work. But now that I think about it, I think that the golf course might have just been a way to get like a cheap set for as many days as they needed it. That like wouldn't change. They could kind of, I don't know, like it just feels like an easy outside set. But I'm going to play this clip here of her playing with her husband. 315 to 341.
Still no sign of our mysterious neighbors?
Nope. I put a note in the welcoming basket though.
Well, maybe they don't want to be bothered.
Aren't you curious about who moved in?
I mean, how'd they sell the house so fast? They haven't even buried him yet.
I'm sure we'll find out soon enough.
Someone's watching them from behind the bushes, which, I mean, you guys, if you've listened long enough, you know, that's what they all do. But Dan is like, Dan, actually, the more I rewatch this, the more I realize that he is more emotionally removed than maybe I put together the first time.
I think that, or just, I honestly, I've come to learn that guys just kind of don't give a shit. And I guess that does have to do with emotionally removed, but like, he's just, you know, like, why do you care?
Disappointing.
Yeah, she's bored. I mean, like, what do you expect? Like, look, she just works out and draws. She's bored. She wants to know what's going on.
Yeah, you're so right. You're so right. And he doesn't encourage her at any point. Like, it seems like almost he's like, Katie, stay at home. Keep doing crunches.
Yeah. Yeah.
Where, I mean, I would like to think that, like, you know, if some guy moved into the neighborhood, I could say to my husband, like, oh, look, there's a new buddy for you down the street. Why don't you go introduce yourself?
This is the part where, I mean, it doesn't say there, does this, well, actually, is this the part where she says she's young and she's hot?
That was supposed to be the part, I guess, but.
Yeah, but so just, she's a little insecure too. Like there's this hot young chick that just moved in next door.
Yeah. And like, there's really not much of an age difference between them. The only way that you can see an age difference visibly, in my opinion, between them is like hairstyling and wardrobe.
Oh, for sure.
And we're going to meet Katie's sister later, who's like hot. And so I'm like, why don't you take your sister? Like Katie's over here breaking her back to make your art store work. Like, why don't you take her out and bring her to the stylist? So we cut back to the neighborhood and this is where, okay, Katie is a children's book author who apparently also does recipes and she does call-ins to morning radio channels, which is like, it's just, this is bonkers. I'll just play this clip here. 351 to 445.
Listening to Madison's Most Loved Station with me, your host, Arlene Tucker, for the Tucker Talk Show. Joining us now, children's author and illustrator Katie Gatewood.
Hi.
Your husband, Dan, is an architect, right?
He is. He draws houses and I draw people.
So what are you doing for your next book?
It's kind of a work in progress, but it's about a determined young boy.
I'm sure our listeners are excited to read it soon, which brings us to the big question. Do you have a recipe for us today?
Actually, I do. Eggplant Parmesan. It's in the oven right now.
Remember, we'll be uploading the recipe to our website. Thank you to our guest, children's writer and illustrator Katie Gatewood, for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
Okay.
This gets funnier each time I hear it because I have two things to say.
Go off.
First of all, you know that part where she's like, I draw people and he draws houses. Like, you know, when she introduces herself at parties with him, like that's her opening line right there.
That's not even her line, I bet. I feel like, see, so she's so like, not to be.
Are you sure?
No, I mean, maybe it is, but not to be a cunt, but I feel like that's something that like someone else said to her about the two of them and she liked it. And so she just like takes it out on wheels all the time as if she, it's probably an easy way for her to summarize what's going on there. But
no, you're 100% right. I know people like that, not to be an asshole, like that. I know.
Oh no. I love like when I hear someone repeat something conversationally that I know I attributed to them. I'm like, interesting. Okay.
Yeah,
Oh, you mean I stuck, bitch. Okay. So
another is that, sorry, real quick, that radio host sounded like a robot.
She did. She had a very radio voice, like compared to, I mean, she doesn't have a podcasting voice. Like that's what,
yeah.
But like, okay. In what world are children's book authors calling into the fucking radio to plug a teaser of their children's book, which is like, no offense, a 15-page book.
And it's just pictures. It's not even like really words.
And that's not to take away from some of the wonderful children's books out there, but I think we can say that Becky at the Ballet by Katie isn't the best book in the world. Right. And her illustrations are incredibly lackluster. I'm kind of surprised she gets away with this, to be honest. But then like the angle of she is kind of good at marketing herself because she does for everything she's lacking in like, you know, literary talent. She makes up for in eggplant parm recipes, which is like, who needs an eggplant parm recipe on this planet? Who?
And on the radio. I mean, like the daily radio, like this isn't even like, you know, it's like the radio that you tune into, like your local one.
No, you're so fucking true. Do you know what I bet it is? It's like, I feel like this is a callback to when like radio shows were like desperate to get stuff up on their website, but they were also discerning bookers. And so they were, she said like, we'll have her eggplant parm recipe up on our website. And so they probably were like, yeah, Katie, we'll plug her book. She'll give us the eggplant parm recipe. It's like an easy 10-minute segment. And Katie just, you know, after this segment, she pops this eggplant parm into the oven and heads off in her little black dress to, of all places, the funeral of her next door neighbor. So she's like very happy when she walks outside and sees her husband was listening. Like, I don't know. I mean, I guess they do have kind of a loveless marriage. Like on my third rewatching of this, I'm finally seeing what other people are saying.
It's so much based off of their like, gosh, I don't even know. It's their interests. Like they just discuss what they just did. And this is the most boring thing in the world.
You're right. Oh my God. They don't have like a commonality past what they did that day.
Yeah. I think the only like interest that they have in common is that they play golf.
That is such a good note. That's like a good relationship note. Cause I feel like sometimes people don't know why a relationship isn't working. And truthfully, guys, that could be it. It could be because you guys have nothing in common besides like what you just did and what you're going to do.
Yeah. And then they just like go to the next place. Now they're going to a funeral.
So guys, if there's a little sound difference, we're starting on Zoom now. So just deal with it. Deal with it. So yeah, like her husband's like, he just listened to her radio show. So they're going to the funeral and on there before they like, I don't know, we see this scene of someone in a black hoodie breaking into their house. I guess they have a key. It's like definitely a chick too. They try to make it a mystery, but it's like obviously a slender woman.
Like workout attire.
Yeah. And so they start to like find various items in the house where they can hide a camera. And the first one they found is like a one of those home goods, like signs that says love in cutout letters. And I just don't think an artist would have that in their home.
She was definitely a live, laugh, love girl though.
I know she definitely was. I mean, she's very corny. Like she's very on the nose, which, you know, there must be something nice to that.
Can we talk about that camera though for a second? Like what? It's like a little dice.
It looked like a Lego or something. It was very small.
Yeah.
It was probably in terms of size, it was probably the best size camera I've ever seen in a Lifetime movie.
Very tiny. And for it to be wireless too, there was nothing it was connected to, just dropped down.
That was the nice thing about this movie, like there was a couple like little more modern touches that weren't really modern, but typically wouldn't have been like in a Lifetime movie. So I kind of enjoyed that this had like an old school feeling to it, but some newer references. So yeah, there's a camera, like, you know, pretty much in every corner of the house at this point. And while they're at the funeral for this neighbor, someone's watching them from afar. And there's like this woman, Lily, there that who's crying. And I think she's supposed to be his cleaning lady.
Is that, I may have forgotten that part. That's not the one that they both share, right?
No, because like their cleaning lady was like an elderly white woman.
Okay. Okay. Okay.
Which I thought was like, also, you know, everyone needs a job. You know, I just am like, I don't know, as someone who's employs housekeepers, I think feel like, you know, when someone's like 65 and they're up on a ladder at my house, that's going to make me feel.
Yeah. Also, I mean, assuming real quick to the funeral, like assuming he didn't have grandkids, because for homegirl next door to be at the front up in center at his funeral, like, wait, like, did you not have family?
I you know, honestly, I'm going to go the other way. I actually thought that like this had a decent amount of people for a Lifetime funeral, because usually it makes it, they make it look like six people care that this person died.
They definitely caught the funeral home on a good day. Do you want to see a movie?
Yeah. In reality, I mean, I feel like every funeral I've been to, there's been like 100 people at least at the burial site. I don't know, but that might be Irish things. Okay. So yeah, they feel bad that Lily found him. When Dan and Katie are leaving a funeral, Dan's like, why do you care? Like, it's not your responsibility. You would cook for him all the time and he wouldn't even touch it. Like, what? Why are you like negging this man at his own funeral and being like, don't worry about him. He didn't like your eggplant.
He's not even someone to be intimidated by. Like,
elderly. No, that's such a good point. It does. No, that's so funny.
Like, why are you so bothered by this?
No, he's like, yes, she expressed some concern for the dead neighbor, and he's like, don't worry about him.
Yeah.
A guy named Mr. Grimes calls, and like, Dan picks up the phone and Katie is just like talking next to him, like a foot from his head. She's like, I hate him. He doesn't appreciate your work. He always takes you off the big jobs. Like, and I'm like, Katie, he can hear you.
Dude, I was thinking that too. I was like, she's saying this pretty loud. Like, he does not have her on mute.
No, it's like, they're almost like that, like kind of out of control couple where it's like, you can always hear the significant other like talking in the front seat. But like, you're not close enough to them that they'll say hi, but like,
they're sort
of chaotically talking in the front seat next to them. It's very interesting behavior from Katie. So it turns out that Dan actually got a promotion. And so when they get home, there's this like smell right away. Katie's eggplant is completely burnt. I would have just like, she did it in this like ceramic casserole dish, which like, I don't know. I mean, can that kind of dish even get that hot?
I don't know. I'm in my head, like, how long were y'all gone for?
Right. Cause like that kind of thing is pretty quick.
Yeah. And I mean, they didn't seem to go anywhere to eat after. She was probably like, I have my parm at home. Like, we're good. So, you know, did you leave it at a high temperature?
I guess she must've been doing like 400 or something, but yeah, no, that eggplant was burnt. I would have just, I know it was probably their wedding china. I would have thrown it away. Like, I was like, there's no way you're cleaning that. It was like charred to the bottom.
It was thrown out.
I don't know. Do you like eggplant? I don't. You're Italian. Do you like it?
Yeah, but I mean, the closest I'll get to eggplant is like when I go to Whole Foods and it's there.
Right. If you
but like, I'm half Italian. I'm half Italian, half Mexican. So it's like, you know, those holidays were a combination of both foods, but not so like, you know what I mean?
No, that sounds delicious, by the way. What a delicious upbringing.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Like, no hate to my people, you know, but Irish food's pretty fucking, not to say this on St. Patrick's Day, but it's pretty bogus. So yeah, they get dinner out instead. There's just, here's like a 38 second clip of the two of them at dinner, 10:02 to 10:40.
We left the windows open, right?
Yeah, but still.
Two pinots?
Thank you.
Of course. Good night.
I swear I left that crock pot on low.
Babe, don't worry about it. These things happen. Besides, tonight, we should celebrate.
Your new book.
I'm still trying to work out the ending, but, you know, I really wanted to write something about not giving up.
Yeah. No, I love it.
Thank you.
Cheers to your new book.
To becoming chief architect.
To Mart.
Oh, wait, maybe I'm mad slow, but like, did what's-her-face turn the oven way up when they were out?
Did they?
Maybe, like the person in the black hoodie, yeah. And also this weird line here, she goes, I swear I could have left the crock pot on low. That's like But also that's not a crock pot.
Look, I also forgot I have this in my notes, but if you go back to the first time that homegirl snuck in, there is, I think, a ring on their door.
A ring camera?
Yeah.
Maybe they don't pay for the subscription.
Like, it's just because I have that down in my notes in exclamation marks, like there is a ring on their door.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, these movies, I mean, what are they going to do if it's a rental for a movie? They can't take the ring off, can they? I mean, who knows? But that is definitely a plot hole.
Maybe it's just not connected, I guess.
So Katie's like cream cheesing up a bagel in the morning in this oversized white shirt, which is the universal symbol for I just got laid. And she's like, you know, he comes down and, you know, being very like sensual with her, I guess. And he's like, have you seen the knife I keep in the bedside table? And she's like, oh, you mean your man drawer? No, I would never go in there. And she seems like kind of frightened by it. And I'm kind of wondering what the fuck this man keeps in his drawer. Like, is it just like toenail clippings? Like, what could he possibly keep? Like a porno? Like, what is she so scandalized by?
I mean, their lives are not that exciting. So, I mean, what would he keep in there? His special pencil because he's an architect? Not that one. Don't go in there today, babe. Like.
Yeah. Oh, no. Yeah. I think she's just a prude, not to be mean.
Oh, she is 100%.
I'm like, why am I pretending? That's how like hungover I am, that I'm being sensitive to the sexuality of this fictional character. I'm like, listen, dude. Okay. Like, no, sorry. But yeah. So Katie goes for a jog while her cleaner's at the house, and like the cleaner, again, she could not be, I mean, I don't know. She's like an old woman. Like that's someone's nana in there. And
that's what I thought.
She left a note out about how her husband's missing this knife, and the cleaning lady just writes underneath it, like, I didn't see it. So yeah, and this is where Katie and Louisa are going to run into each other. I do like that Katie goes for a run though, when the cleaning lady is there.
Yeah. She like just does not want to interact with her. Maybe just be an awkward interaction for them both.
Yeah. There's that. It is probably best to get out of their way. But also additionally, like, yeah, she's just so productive. Like her energy's on another level. I don't know. So yeah, Louisa, this is where she meets Louisa, the neighbor, for the first time, 1221 to 1253.
Hey, I've been meaning to introduce myself. We keep missing each other. Louisa. Culver Drive.
Oh, yes. You moved into 170. It's nice to finally meet you. I'm Katie.
Yeah, it's nice to meet you too. I wanted to thank you for that fruit basket. That was so sweet of you.
Oh yeah, just something small to welcome you to the neighborhood. You are gonna love it. It's friendly, quiet, safe.
Well, I don't want to interrupt your flow, so I'll leave you to it.
Catch you later.
Yeah.
This episode is sponsored by Book of the Month. I know we've got a lot of big readers listening right now, and as someone who loves to read but kind of fell off recently, I've turned to Book of the Month. Book of the Month aims to help readers discover new books that they love and promote the work of emerging authors. Book of the Month's editorial team reads through hundreds of titles each month, and then they select the very best for you to pick from. Their curations each month are on the smaller to medium side, which is something I personally prefer because it reminds me of buying books at the airport, which happens to be my favorite kind of IRL bookstore. There aren't like endless options to choose from, but what you'll find there is all pretty solid, and it makes it easy to just pick one up. And who doesn't love having something cool put on their radar that they might not have found out about unless another obsessive told them about it? You can even scroll your monthly book options on their app, which also tracks your progress, and members get to anticipate the release of a new list at the start of each month. And let me stop you right there. You do not have to return the books. You don't have to go to the post office. This is not the library. There's no late fees. You get to hang on to that thing and read at your own pace and as many times as you want. Since I'm re-entering my reading era, I stuck with my go-to genres, thrillers, mysteries, anything that's twisty and turny. For April, I picked out The Reappearance of Rachel Prince by Holly Jackson and The Husbands by Holly Gramazio. Big month for the literary Hollies over here. The Husbands is about a bizarre scenario in which a woman returns home one day and finds out that apparently she has a husband, and she seems to be the only one who doesn't know about it. The Reappearance of Rachel Prince, I'm so psyched for this one, is about a girl whose life has been defined by her mom's disappearance, which is obviously annoying. But then her family agrees to do a true crime doc about her missing mom and learn some upsetting truths. Like, I'm truly foaming at the mouth for that one. If you're interested in trying it out, you can get your first book for $5 with code PASTEL at bookofthemonth.com. $5. Code PASTEL, PASTEL, at bookofthemonth.com.
As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/realm.
All right. Well, I mean, she seems pleasant enough, but she does. She has these intense eyes. I would be afraid of her in real life.
It is. Yes. She, I'm trying to remember, does she wear eyeliner?
Sometimes maybe, but I don't think that that's her go-to look.
It's just because of how big her eyes look in this film. I just could not stop looking at them. So, yeah.
I know. I kind of feel like it's like a chicken or egg thing for me because on one hand, like she kind of has crazy eyes. So like she's that person that like you would like you wouldn't trust your gut instinct at first. You'd like double back and be like, no, maybe I'm just being judgmental because like she has sort of like an intense stare. But then like this person would absolutely like fuck your husband.
She... Yes, which she did.
Yeah. And you'd be like, yeah, you'd be like, well, I should have known. I should have trusted my intuition.
Well, so she describes her to what's the husband's name? Dan. Dan, right?
Yeah.
She's young. Just your new neighbor. She's young and hot. Doesn't she say young and hot? Like the way she describes her is just like, what? Where did you get that from?
They're the same age to me.
I thought they were the same age too. Like, I don't know why that insecurity came out of her mouth. You know, but then well, also all of the things she's been doing, eating disorder, things that we think is going on. I'm kind of not surprised at the same time.
But also like Dan is an insecure man, too. So maybe there's just like trust issues in the relationship. I wonder if she cheated on him in college or something.
When was he even with Louisa? Do we even know their timeline? How long was everyone together is what I want to know.
Yeah, that's the weirdest part, because it does feel like Katie and Dan have had this like. They seem like a couple that's been together since like they met in college and have stayed together. That's what their marriage, like the feel of it is to me. But then And it seems like they've created like a real home that like takes, you know, you have to be living there for a while for a house to look like sort of worn in like that. And most Lifetime movies, they fail at creating an ambiance like that. But like, she uses the term ghosting a little bit later. And like, that feels very like Tinder era. I mean, like, sure, there was guys that like blew people off or whatever before that.
It feels too modern.
Yeah, it felt very modern. And it also made it seem like maybe these people were just together for the last like 5 years or something. I don't know.
Well, it's also difficult to even tell their age.
I think they like that because they want anyone from like your average like 35-year-old woman watching this to like a 20-year-old to potentially see themselves in it. But yeah, so we see like an exterior shot, Stevenson Beach. Katie sees a neighbor. It's Patrick when she's biking by and she says, "Hey, what's up?" And he like kind of keeps an eye on her after she passes, and the music gets really intense, dramatic, and scary, frankly. So Katie goes to this art store called, is it Arteria?
Is that what it was called? I don't remember the name of it.
Yeah, she goes to grab some art supplies. Now, this is supposed to be her sister, and I would have never guessed in a million years that this
I thought they were just best friends. This is like her stepsister.
Yeah, I don't know why she needed to be her sister. Like it feel like adopted maybe. But yeah, she's like, she's there for some liner pens and her sister's just like, "Yeah, well, thanks for being here because I'm worried about my business. Like, I think this might've been a mistake." And I would feel that way too, probably, if I opened an art store. I'd probably be self-conscious that I'd made a mistake.
And like a little country club area too. Like, how many people are going to go to your art store?
Just Katie.
Just because she's the only illustrator in town.
And like, to me, I don't know, we'll get to this in a little bit, but to me, it's like, I feel like Katie should have like her name on it in some way because she's successful enough of a children's book author that people are like asking her to call into the morning radio. And if I was her sister, I'd be like, "Would you like to be the face of my art store?" Like, then you have this like positive thing, this positive connection, because people can identify her. It's like if Mark Brown, the guy who like created Arthur, right? It's like if he owned an art store, you want to go there because it's this famous children's book writer who like sneaks his kids' names into every book and like, you know, all these different things, right? So that makes more sense. But then this sister, I mean, I guess they're just an artistic family, but I don't know. I would have run that differently. So people are watching from outside. I think that's the most important thing to remember. So later at home, Katie's doing some yoga and there's a knock at the door. It's her neighbor, Louisa. She made a smoothie with the fruit that she brought. And I'm like, there's really nothing in there to make a smoothie with. Like maybe the banana.
You're not going to put the grapes in there.
No, what a weird smoothie.
Yeah.
And that was like, I kind of was hung up on that. She said, "Will you come running with me?" So they go for a little run, 15:10 to 16:11.
Living in a place like this. Oh, I do. It's tough though when you work inside and you want to be outside all day.
I know what you mean.
What do you do?
PR.
Oh, public relations. People's reputations.
Damage control, mostly.
So is there a Mr. Louisa?
It's complicated.
I didn't mean to pry.
Well, let's just say I'm trying to get over someone.
Oh, you just broke up?
You know, we never actually broke up. But when a guy can't commit after 10 years.
10 years? That is way too long.
I know. But he's worth it.
So what about you?
Who's the lucky guy?
Oh, he's pretty amazing. He's kind, considerate, handsome. My sister says I talk about him like I'm obsessed, but
that's cute. And he sounds practically perfect.
You'll have to meet him.
I'd like that.
Ready?
All right. Well, yeah. I mean, I just wrote like the guy that she's been with for 10 years has to be Dan. At this point, I am thinking maybe they are having an affair a little bit.
Right? Like, it's too, I mean, you don't get ghosted 10 years ago and still obsessively want that person.
But maybe it wasn't really 10 years ago. Maybe
it was just, well, we learn how they meet, but you know, maybe it was recent.
That's what it feels like to me too. I don't know, but Katie, like, this movie, the pacing is insane. Like, I haven't watched a movie. I always pray for this where I'm like, can they just give me like a 2-minute scene instead of like drawing this out over 5 minutes? It's like too cinematic for what we're dealing with here. This movie gave me my wish and I was like, okay, it's a lot. So it's just scene after scene, but Katie leaves the house later and the figure in the black hood waits for her to pull away. And once they're in the house, they go straight upstairs. They take a bunch of Dan's collared shirts and place more cameras, one in a sconce in the living room, one in a little topiary, like this whole thing. So they set up a step ladder so they can put one inside of the smoke detector. And then the smoke detector falls and they like, you know, basically jump off the stool and run before, like right as the cleaning lady's arriving. So then the old woman sees the smoke detector on the floor and she tries to put it up herself. And then we just see an exterior of the house and screaming. She killed that old lady.
Before, when you said exterior of the house, how do you feel about the exterior of the house, by the way?
I thought it was like kind of unbelievable that they existed next to each other, the two houses. Like it didn't feel, maybe it was kind of California and that they, it looked like they lived in different areas. I mean, it was fine. It was fine.
Yeah. Okay. I was just so looking at the rocks, like I was like, is this a little Flintstone-y?
Oh, the masonry. Like a rock
just like the border of the door. And I was like, and you're an architect. Like, would you, I feel like you would not choose to live here. Like, this is something that you would not want to live in.
That's actually an incredibly clutch point you just brought up, is that they're both artists and they have that home goods sign in their house. Like, what is going on?
Yeah. Like, this is no.
I feel like most of my friends who are artists, if you gave them a sign like that, that thing would be like chopped up into different pieces being used for something at best. Yeah. If not, it would be like, you know, politely passing like it on their, to Goodwill.
Their bedroom too. When they first show Louisa or hooded figure putting the camera in the bedroom, I was like, where did they get, like, how long have they been living here? Because that would not be my headboard if I made that much money as a head architect and kids illustrator.
No, you're exactly right. No, there was things about it that were just, they felt it was giving Airbnb.
100%.
There was also lots of like little trinkets. Like I noticed like all of their glassware looked like very cheap. Like, you know, she had like some sort of like little glass dishes and stuff on the bedside table next to her, which by the way, her bedside table was chaos.
Oh yeah. It had like bath and like, actually what, like the Bath and Body Works cream that like cherry blossom.
Yeah.
Bottle. Do you know what I mean? It was like that kind of bottle and it was open. And what else did she have on the side? Yes.
There was one thing that was just like, yeah, it was like a pink. I guess that might've been the cream. It was just so.
It was the cream.
It looked chaotic to me. And they never show people living that normally ever in a movie like this. Like it's always tidy and sterilized.
Yeah. It's almost as if it was one of the actresses' homes and they were like, can we just use your place to shoot this film?
Honestly, let me see if this was made. Cause I do think that like
2019.
You know, yeah. I wouldn't be, this is pre-COVID, but I was going to say, I wouldn't be surprised if I have a theory that maybe potentially in some of the Lifetime movies we've seen, like maybe the actors were even staying at the houses they rented the film at.
That's so.
To avoid like testing and staying in a pod. So yeah.
Where are we? Oh, we found Nana.
She killed the cleaning lady and Katie comes home. She's like, you know, they rush her to the hospital. Katie's like sobbing. Dan once again is like, there's nothing you could have done. Don't worry about it. Which like, it doesn't make him seem like he doesn't care. Like the way that he did about the man next door. Like it actually is seeming to me more that he has like a personality defect. Like he doesn't understand grief.
Mm-hmm.
Or like, I don't know, like that it's actually not an inappropriate reaction to be incredibly upset after finding your dead cleaning lady on the floor. So the person watching them, we see just like a person in a black hood watching them, fires up the cameras while Katie and Dan are eating Chinese in the backyard. Apparently Alice's wake is tomorrow, but Dan's going to be out of town. And she's like, well, you know, I know you need the project to go well, you know, and he's like, I'm happy you have your sister here. She's like, I feel so bad about my sister's art shop. Like, It sucks. Like, no one's coming in. I wonder if there's a way I could help drive more traffic. And she seems like so stumped. And she's like, well, wait, what about a workshop? I'm like, no shit, Katie. Like, that's why your sister's art store is going to fail. Like, you didn't even think about basic marketing. Like, you let her set this store up and you didn't say, like, I'm so happy to help you, sister. Like, I will absolutely, as a successful children's book writer, I would love to host a workshop and get people in the door.
I don't know. Their relationship, I can't even tell you what they share in common at this point. So I'm not even surprised by Katie's actions at this point.
Because we know Katie is a little self-brander because she's on the radio giving her recipes. So like, I mean, obviously this isn't a woman who fails to understand marketing. Like, I wonder if she's jealous of her sister.
Probably. Her sister probably has the brains.
Yeah. So the next day, Louisa and Katie, I mean, these two are running partners now. And I feel sympathy for Katie. I don't know. Are you able to be steamrolled by someone like this? Like, I absolutely have let like lecherous people into my life because I just like, I'm like, oh, okay. Well, like, yeah, if you want to hang out and then you just say, keep saying, yes, you want to hang out until they're taking over your life.
Yes. But also I'd like to be alone so much that I'm just like, hey, I'm not down at all. Sorry.
Come off very boundaried on Twitter. I will say that.
I've learned. If I'm tired, I'm tired. And I think you also know I love to smoke weed. So if that's what I'm doing, like anyone can come over and visit and then bye. Please go away.
Yeah. I thought you meant buy as in purchase. And I was like, oh, do you want to say you're a drug dealer on the podcast, babe?
No. She's not. Need Adderall. I'm just kidding.
Okay. So they're running through the park the next day. And Louisa's like, I thought about what you said and you're right. I probably should move on from losers who don't appreciate me. I want what you have, a partner who cares. And she's like, I'm a giver and I need someone who's going to give back to me. So you know, this is a huge emotional development for Louisa. I mean, that's a big turnaround mentally. I would be, as just another chick, I'd be like, yeah, right. Like, I know we'll be having this conversation in 6 more months. Cause you just, if you're like on a thing like that, if you're on a tear, you can't pull someone off of that overnight.
Also, it's like, how, Katie, like, are you really this bored? Like, you made a friend this quick. Like, you're trusting so quickly.
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah.
That's what I was thinking. I'm like, maybe she's lonely. I don't know. So they're doing this big art lesson at Katie's sister's store. And like Patrick, the neighbor, is there. And, you know, Louise is there, of course. And they're drawing a cat. They're drawing a simple illustration of a cat. It probably couldn't be more than 20 lines to make up this whole thing. Possibly way less. And it's like kind of insane to think about all these adults like sober painting a cat on a Saturday like that.
She didn't even make it fun, like tipsy canvas stuff.
Yeah. You know? I was going to say, like, pass out some wine. I know Katie drinks, you know? So Katie and Louisa get some wine after lunch together. Let's play this scene.
Not quite yet. It's still a complete mess. Boxes everywhere, you know?
Yeah, no, I mean, whenever's good for you.
Now if I could just figure out my love life. Oh, go ahead.
Hi. That's great. Yeah, we're just having coffee at Birch. It's Dan. He's right around the corner. Why don't you come join us? You get to meet my Dan.
Amazing. I'm just gonna use the restroom. I'll be right back.
Okay.
Hey, babe.
Hey.
So where's Louisa?
She just ran to the... Sorry, had to rush off. Urgent business call, next one on me. That's weird.
Yeah, what a shame. Yeah, I swear I used to date a girl named Louisa.
Yep. I mean, that's the first thing, right? Like the second a person named Louisa moves in next to me, if I dated a Louisa, I'm like, what'd she look like?
And then disappear. I mean, the red flags are there.
The red flags are there. Also, she calls the restaurant Birch when it's clearly called like Sun Cafe or something on the exterior. But yeah, I like, you know, I do think it is a little soon after she moved in for Katie to be sort of like inviting herself over. But at the same time, like these guys are getting so much done in a day. They've probably lost 5 pounds since they met.
I mean, I think about like what we discussed, what we both did today. And then I look at this movie. Yeah, they've done a lot.
I'm a loser. No, I know this definitely makes me feel like a loser in that sense.
Like they go for runs and have, yeah, they have a lot of things going on. I mean, I work out. I know I work out, but like these people go for, that's different when you go.
And then
for
they
run.
Go for like lunch and then they, you know, are making dinner for their, I mean, like, I can't imagine the energy. And that's like, I don't even think I'm depressed right now. Like, this is me full fire, like, go, yeah. I'm firing from all four cylinders right now. And I just like, you know, I'm an idiot. So Katie's biking around and like suddenly this person with the hood is biking behind her. It's very Pretty Little Liars. Like she's just on this path, like trying to like, you know, tear it up. And this person's like absolutely banging their wheel into the back of her bike. So she falls, like manages to get out of there. It looks like her arm is broken. But what I noticed here was that she's fucking ripped. Like they put all this dirt on her arms to make it, you know, to sell the fact that she fell. And her arms look so, she looks so fucking ripped, dude. Like,
dude, she's super ripped.
Yeah. I mean, that's the goal, I guess. Right. So Louisa helps her bandage her foot and she's like, did you see anything? Louisa's like, no, just, you know, I just saw your bike on the ground. So Dan comes in and this is his first time seeing Louisa. And it seems at first, like he doesn't even notice her or like maybe he's ignoring her. It's fascinating how different guys lie or like can't like manage to hide things. Right.
I think it's the difference in their voice. You can tell like it's their voice that gives it off right away.
Definitely. 100%.
They just feel so uncomfortable. Like that's why it's just like, why are you even like, I can see it in your eyes and your voice.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I agree. No, you're right. You're right. Yeah. Cause it's always a, mm-hmm, yep. So she's like, well, keep an eye on her. Okay. Like she's can have a concussion up to 24 hours later. And Dan gives Louisa like a really weird look when she's leaving. So turns out that Katie's fine. You know, Louisa found her, blah, blah, blah. So in the morning she's making eggs and Dan seems very distracted. And he says, it's just work. You know, he's sorry. He's trying to be home early to help her more. And she's like, no, you got a big promotion. Like you got to be out the door. I get it. So before he goes to work, he stops by Louisa's and this is where he's going to confront her. Let me know. Think about it in your head. If this was your situation, if like you didn't know that your ex's like brief girlfriend moved in next door, if you would be happy with how he handled this. 2808 to 2908.
Hi.
Hey, stranger.
Look, I just want to come over here and find out. I'll ask you.
Ask me what?
What are you doing here?
Well, it's a beautiful neighborhood, isn't it?
So it's just a coincidence?
I guess it is.
Yeah, now you're friends with my wife?
Oh, she's lovely.
Right. So, what is it?
So, why am I friends with your wife, or why am I here?
No, why are you here?
I needed a place to live. I fell in love with this house. Uh-huh. It doesn't bother you, does it?
No, it's fine. It's just this is a good neighborhood.
See you around, neighbor.
When he said this is a good neighborhood at the end, did you think that he was being like, don't trash it up in our neighborhood?
I think he was, or I also think he was just kind of ending the conversation.
Yeah.
They're kind of all, I mean, they're all really awkward, but Also, why would he do that confrontation out in the open? I mean, I guess he doesn't really have any other place to do it, but that just made me laugh too. Like, is Katie not going to look out the window and see this?
Yeah, it's tough because, like, I mean, so if this was how your boyfriend handled this, if you had his ex-girlfriend living next door and you didn't know, would you be satisfied if you got to like replay it later and see it? Would you be satisfied with this confrontation?
I think I'd be neutral just because it's like, you already met her. Tell me first. You know how, do you see how he like spoke to her before he let Katie know that they dated? Like he was hesitant. It's like, why don't you just tell me first before you go and confront her about it? So then we can discuss it. Like, that's what I found extremely odd of him to do, which is why his character questioned me when he was doing little things like this.
Yeah. Yeah. This was, yeah. I mean, and her calmness is also so scary. He should have gone right back into the house and been like, I have to tell you the truth. That neighbor where I know her, like, stop hanging out with her. Like, cause her calmness is very eerie. He should have protected Katie better. So he is at the golf course later on and he calls Katie and is like, can you meet me at the house in like a half an hour? I want to tell you some stuff. I got the locks changed. And so when Katie's at home, she finds a new key under the mat and she's like doodling some snails when Dan comes home with Chinese food. And they're about to talk about whatever it was he wanted to talk about when he gets a call. They need him back at work ASAP. And she's like, no big deal. We can talk about what you want to talk about when you get back. I'd be like, quit your job. No way. No way. Are you saying, can we talk? Meet me in a half an hour? Like, how can you get anywhere in a half an hour? But then meet me home. I want to talk. Sorry, I have to go to a business meeting. It feels like he's cheating, but I think he's actually just incredibly inconsiderate.
His way of communicating is terrible.
Yeah. I wonder what his family is like.
Probably the same.
Do you think he's a mama's boy?
Yes, 100%.
Yeah, that's why he picked Katie's such a good girl.
Yeah.
It's very Madonna whore.
If they met in college, really, what class or how do you think they met? They definitely didn't meet at a bar.
If they met, it was probably I actually would say that they probably did meet at a bar, but they were both the DDs. And they started talking or maybe it's they met in a volunteer group or they were put into some sort of they both volunteered for something and were put into a group or whatever.
I think that his major was something she needed to take for her minor basics class, where he knew or vice versa. One of them had much more knowledge about the subject than another. And it was why don't you help me study? And then that's how it unraveled.
Yeah. And wait, they are both artists. So maybe they did share a fine arts major and he also was doing architecture. I wonder what school they went to. Guys, this is what I do. I'm so sorry.
I mean, the filming location is LA. That's on IMDb. It says filming location, Los Angeles, California.
Yeah. Maybe UCLA kids, who knows? So Dan's packing for his work trip and she's like, so wait, why did you change the locks? And he's like, oh, the old neighbor used to have a key and I don't know where it went. So I thought it was the safest thing to do. Let's play this little scene right here. 3226 to 3445.
I need to talk to you about something. And it's probably nothing, but I don't want to keep a secret from you.
Okay. Tell me what it is.
It's about Louisa.
Louisa. Next door, Louisa?
Yeah, she mentioned me.
About last night?
No, before that.
I don't understand what you're talking about.
I used to know her.
You knew her?
We dated.
Your girlfriend?
No, nothing like that. We went out a few times and it didn't really go anywhere. I mean, it was years ago.
How come you didn't just tell me last night?
I,
I don't know. I was in shock.
She was right there in our house.
She hasn't said anything. Can I ask how she ended it?
Well, that's the thing, is that she didn't end it. I did. Or I suppose I should have. I should have told her it was over, but I didn't want to hurt her feelings.
So you ghosted her?
I'm not proud of it.
Well, I can just go over there and have a conversation with her. Find out what her intentions are.
I don't know, babe. You think that's a good idea?
Well, why not? I mean, she seems harmless.
Okay. If you think so. Listen, thank you for understanding. I love you.
Marissa, I don't know about you, but thank you for understanding would have sent me over the edge for almost no reason. Like, I actually do know the reason. I'd be like, are you like, I understand. Do you understand? Like, do you both, like, I would like, that would have driven me off a ledge for some reason.
The part about, like, why didn't you tell me first?
Yeah, but also, like, just, like, even at the end when he's like, thanks for being understanding. It's like,
oh, yeah.
Like, am I I mean, understanding, like, of course I intellectually understand, but, like, this isn't okay.
He set up a whole dinner for this scene, didn't he? Like, she walks in and, like, the kid, no.
No, that's it? Late. That's when, that's when she's, like, finds the thing in his bag.
Yeah, yeah, okay, that was that part. I was confusing them.
He should have just done that. Like, I know that bringing Chinese home was, like, at the time, like, what he thought was appropriate, but it escalated too quickly. Why can't he just be like, we used to hook up a little bit. We went out to a couple parties. We used to hook up. Like, it wasn't a big thing.
I know her. Yeah.
Yeah. And also, like, just like the way he says dating, it's like, don't muddy it. Like, you obviously didn't feel anything for this person. You fucked. You guys fucked. So at the golf course, Katie invited Louisa to come along, and she brings up that Dan told her about their past. And Louisa's like, I'm so sorry. I didn't want to bring it up because you guys seem so happy in your marriage. And Katie's like, well, I know we ended it poorly. And Louisa's like, no, it had never even crossed my mind. In fact, I found someone new. She says that she found, like, this great guy or whatever. So yeah, Patrick watches on from his car later on as Louisa corners Dan in the driveway. And Dan's holding flowers for Katie. But to Patrick, it looks like he's bringing the flowers for Louisa. And so she's like, we should get coffee sometime. And Dan's like, I don't think so. I'll check with Katie to see if we're free. And she looks very rejected by this. She can't even, like, hide her, I don't know, like, the inner child that's so deeply wounded when he says this, that she goes home and she cries in the bath. And, like, while she's crying, we see this, like, she has this red dress that's hung up. And first you're like, okay, well, is she going to put it on? What's going on? And then she picks up just this raw photo. It doesn't even have a frame. She's been carrying around this loose photo of the two of them on probably New Year's Eve. And she's wearing that red dress. What did you think of the loose photo?
Why are you carrying that around? And who took this? Like, he probably doesn't even know.
It's like the one party picture they have. Like, they probably didn't even go out and meet that many people or talk, you know what I mean? They probably didn't commingle or were social with people. That probably wasn't their thing. But she held
on to it.
Yeah. I mean, it is their best picture as a couple. I will say that. So
probably their only one too.
She realizes that the spare key won't work anymore. And she, like, absolutely hurls it across the bathroom. So Dan and Katie go out to dinner again. And she says her book is coming along well. And she tells him about her conversation with Louisa. And Louisa is like, no, apparently Louisa didn't care that you dumped her, Dan. So Dan sounds almost disappointed when he hears that, which would have also made me snap.
Yeah, I saw that in his face too and heard it. And the way that Katie just handled it, why did she not get so upset over that?
I don't know. I mean, I don't know. Cause these are one of those things where it's like, you're not even insecure. It's just like, go handle your shit. Like, clean up your mess. You know, like, it's like, of course I'm not threatened or intimidated by that, but like, why do you have all these fucking loose ends? Like, go clean it up, loser. I'm not dealing with that.
Yeah, we've been married for 10 years.
Exactly. Exactly. Like, that almost makes it worse. It's like, we've been married for 10 years and you can't say to some girl you went out on a few dates with to like pack it up and respect your family. I don't know. That personality type pisses me off.
Yeah.
So her sister, she's talking about this whole thing with her sister and she's like, well, Dan, you know, kind of feels like he's being stalked. And her sister goes, you can change your friends, but you can't change your exes. So I guess I don't really remember that scene. I guess I'm kind of like blacked out during that. But Louisa's looking up male escorts that night. And there's a guy named Finn that catches her eye. What did you think of Finn?
He's like a B. At first I thought he had glasses on in the photo. He's just a Dan lookalike.
Yeah.
Like a Dan lookalike, but like a... Oh, I guess I couldn't be able to compare like a brand name. Like it's because Texas has like Hill Country Fair, which is one of our main, a knockoff brand. He's a knockoff brand of Dan. That's what he is.
Yeah, he is. Well, yes.
What did you think?
He's not a type of guy that I would even register visually. Like I know he's supposed to be attractive, but that's just like not my type. Like I think Dan's like you know, closer to reasonable. Like these men, I'm almost never attracted to the guys in these movies. But I don't know, like I don't know. I don't think I could navigate a website full of male escorts and pick the right one based on a picture.
Also, why escorts? Why couldn't she just get a regular guy? I mean, why'd she have to pay someone?
Because it is weird. Like what she's, the game she's playing is a little weird. I would say if anything, she's more like emotionally tidy than Dan is, because like Dan's like, you know, got all these loose strings hanging around. Whereas she is like, I'm just going to hire a guy. So that way I don't have to explain anything to him. I don't owe him anything. Like it's a job for him because it's a job for her. So let's play this little clip of Louisa and Finn meeting 41:17 to 42 minutes.
Louisa.
You must be Finn.
So, what can I do for you?
Well, I guess that depends.
Well, tell me, what sort of things are you into?
Nothing like that. Just to spend some quality time together. 2 weeks. I need you to tell people that we're in a long-distance relationship and you just got back in town. Think you can handle that?
Is that all?
Yes. And you start tonight. Let's go.
Okay.
Okay. So Patrick is like watching a duck in the pond, like from his car. He's in the park, like watching Katie. And she like quite literally runs into him. He like hangs out behind a tree so that she'll like bash into him. And he's like, I need to talk to you about your husband and your neighbor. And she's like, I know everything. And she's like very annoyed by Patrick. It makes me feel like there's like some drama that we missed out on. Like maybe Patrick got like drunk and a little handsy at a party, like, cause he's not socially involved with them. And she kind of blows him off pretty quickly when she sees him.
And he was giving her the eyes at that pop-up thing workshop she had go on.
Like what straight single man goes to like a kitten painting workshop by himself on a Saturday? He's in love with her.
Yeah, he's giving her the eyes.
So Katie's drinking with her sister that night and she's like, I really needed this, you know, that was so crazy that guy came up to me. And her sister's like, yeah, I think it's really bizarre he didn't just come to your house. And she's like, well, by the way, speaking of my house, I have a spare key to give you. So her sister like kind of plops it into the inner pocket of her purse. Like I think that they're supposed to be wasted, but like I had anxiety watching her sort of just like toss that key into her purse. So then they randomly run into Louisa and her sister's like, I gotta go. I've got an early morning. And she sort of like makes a face, you know, and Louisa knocks her purse out of her hands and makes like they clean it up together. And like, this is obviously Louise's opportunity to steal her key. And so the sister takes off and Katie's like, I'll take a ginger ale. Cause Louise is basically making her stay to meet her escort. And yeah, I mean, there's like a little meeting there and Louise is like, I'm so glad that the two of you can finally meet, which like, as if, like, I would be, yeah. I mean, like, why doesn't Katie just say like, oh, us? Like, oh, I mean, I just, you know, we're just new neighbors. So, yeah. You know, like I would have absolutely like grounded her there. And then
yeah,
like
you don't about, have any other friends in town.
Yes. Think about what you're saying. Like also, how did she even wind up there as a single woman buying a house in like a neighborhood like that? How did she wind up there? Was there,
I want to know what her occupation is.
Yeah. I don't even think she has like a lie of what she does for a living. I think it's possible that they just, Katie didn't ask many investigatory questions. Right. So basically like Katie's, you know, leaves and Finn's like, you know, after Katie leaves, she like tosses a pile of cash at him and she's like, you know, just keep the act up. So Louise is making smoothies at her place. And she's, this is when she starts putting carpet cleaner into the blender. She brings these like carpet cleaner smoothies over to Katie. So the first time it happens, Katie doubles over while she's running. She's like, I think I have a cramp. And so Louisa helps walk her home. What did you think about like the amount of smoothie that was left in that blender that she poured carpet cleaner into was insane. Like it was a full blown. I was like, is she
wasn't measuring her proportion? Like everything was measured terribly.
Yeah. But also like, what about all that leftover smoothie?
Exactly. Like, why didn't you just make enough for her? Why did you have to make so much with all of your carpet cleaner? She can't reuse it again. You know how smoothies go. They're bad the next day.
Absolutely. So Dan's at the range and decides to call the house and Katie's sleeping and Louisa's just like sitting there watching her sleep. So she helps her, you know, out by answering the phone and he's like, who is this? And she's like, it should be your wife, but I'm filling in for you for the day. So it's like, put my wife on the phone. Katie is basically like, I'm okay. Dan managed, he looks very concerned, but he goes back to his game, which is another like, Dan, get it the fuck together. Like, you just called your house and this girl that you ghosted, who's like very intense and oddly calm, she's sitting there with your wife. Like, that's like, go, how can you turn back to your golf game? He was just at the, like the range too. Like he wasn't even at a real golf course. Like just turn around and leave.
Also, like, didn't he just get a promotion? Like, why are you not trying harder to make a, like, what's your work like right now?
So I guess this guy that he's always with is this guy, Josh. And I think that his job partially is to entertain Josh. And that's why they're always at the club together.
Oh, okay.
Which that I think is a real job. Like
it is,
which is kind of like crazy to think
about.
I
didn't know. I thought Josh was just like a golfing buddy. I guess now that makes sense.
Yeah, there's the weirdest line in this movie is at the very end and it comes from Josh. It's fascinating. But yeah, like when Dan comes home, Katie's eating with Finn and Louisa in the backyard. And Dan's like kind of annoyed, you know, he's like, why didn't you call and update me that you were having like a little party back here? And Finn's like trying to just like smooth everything over. So he's talking about like what an amazing artist Louisa is and like, you know, or Katie is, whatever. And Dan, like, you know, it's just like, Finn, who are you? Like, apparently he's a long distance boyfriend. So Dan's like, how long are you in town for? What do you do? He says he's in finance. Like, it seems like Dan's jealous. This whole thing, though, is one of those things where basically what the fight between Katie and Dan boils down to is that Katie's reading it as a thing where he wants to be out working all the time, living his life. And she feels like her life is on pause. Or that he wants her to keep it on pause. Like that's how she's viewing it and not, Katie, that's my ex-girlfriend who's obsessed with me.
Or you don't think it's more like you don't have to do much, just, and she's trying to find hobbies, things that are like, she finds hobbies as her dreams. I don't know. Does that make sense?
Yeah, you're right. And also, no, you bring up such a good point too, is that she seems very lonely.
Yeah.
Like, I know you said the word bored before because it does. It seems like she's fucking bored. But also I think she's like lonely.
Like she made friends with Louisa. Like they know so much about, well, at least we think so much already. Like I wouldn't open up to someone that fucking quick. Like who's my neighbor who was with my husband. Not like that matters. You know, that's happened. But like, that's just, it's you kind of also being like, why is this person trying to get so close with me so quickly? She's lonely. She's accepting it in any form.
Yeah. I mean, no, listen, at a certain point, like half the world is fucked. And I think we can like move on from that. You know what I mean? Like you're probably, it wouldn't be insane if you lived in like a massive apartment complex for,
oh yeah,
potentially like an ex, you know, but like you've moved on, you're in a good place. What's so strange about it is like the fact that, I don't know, she's like a little like tear in his dating history that she doesn't know, Katie doesn't know anything about. But yeah, basically the next morning, even though Katie like goes to bed mad at Dan, the next morning Katie like takes a turn because she goes to check her mail and there's a catalog for Mrs. Gatewood in there, except it's to Louisa's address. So she's like, what? Like the mailman, like clearly Louisa's using her last name. I mean, this wasn't a perfect sell, honestly. I needed a little bit better, truthfully. They didn't sell it perfectly because she had to like discover that Louisa's using her last name by going through her mailbox. And I feel like there's better ways to have found something like that out. But that's what kind of makes Katie turn and be like, okay, I need to go establish dominance. So she goes to Louisa's door and confronts her. 5134 to 5206.
Katie, what can I do for you?
Well, I just got this in the mail, but there must be some mistake. It's yours, but it has my name on it.
They do that all the time. They mix up the names, they Google the addresses. Thanks for bringing them over.
I have never had that happen before.
It happens.
But it is yours, right? Not mine? Maybe you should call them and change the name to avoid any, I don't know, further confusion?
Sure. Right away.
That doesn't happen.
These confrontations are just so lame.
I know they are lame. And like Katie does a lot physically, like the way she like huffs and puffs away from this house, like you would think that she really just did something. And that confrontation there, you would think that that was like a real, like people moved away from that conversation, changed. But like, she's just sort of like, she doesn't, there's no bite.
I know.
In what world does that happen? Like you're a brand new neighbor. I'm surprised that your mail forwarding has even worked.
I know. I wouldn't even think she'd get her mail that soon. It would take a while, honestly.
Yeah.
Yes, it's great, but you know, that'll take a while.
What's like the craziest thing you've ever done to either like be in a room with a guy you wanted to be with or to like sabotage something that
was going on? You cannot ask me this.
I need to know. No, I need to know.
Maybe this is something I can answer at the end. I feel like I have to think because there could be a couple of things. Also, I've been drinking, so it's going to come to my head.
Hell soon. Yeah, bitch. I'm officially trying to win back my hangover. I'm trying to get to the other side of it. I've fucking,
you're like, Irish.
Marissa, I am Irish. Thank you for acknowledging. And you know what? I will say that I did get gel extensions last week because I just was like, I'm fucking tired of not having nails. Like it's killing me. I forgot. Well, one, I should have like thought about what that would do because I have to type like, you know, 40 pages of notes.
You get used to it.
I know I get used to it, but right now I'm not used to it. And I was like, oh shit. Like I got to get this all out. Oh, I know you. I've had long nails before, but the
you're
thing
like that Peter Griffin gif right now.
I am like that Peter Griffin gif. And I definitely forgot like, oh yeah, this is why like Trisha Paytas has like all these like, little like devices and shit to help her open her cans because you can't open a can.
Trisha Paytas. Wait, where did this come from? Yes, drinking. Well, you know, I started drinking because I was listening while I was getting, okay, this all connects. When I was getting a mani-pedi, I listened to your last podcast you did because I was like, let's see where I should be at when I do this. I did a little bit of research. I know you were like, did you even watch the movie? Yes, I did.
No, I wasn't asking in a mean way.
No, I know, but I thought it was funny because my best girlfriend texted me too saying, did you watch it? And I was like, yes, I watched it last night. She was like, I don't know when you made time for this because my friend, like everyone is so used to being up to date with what I'm doing. Like that's why she was like, when did you have time to do this? I was like, last night I got into bed and I watched it. But I was listening to your last podcast and you were talking about the gin and the house that I'm sitting I'm a tequila drinker and they only have like gin and vodka. So I was like, well, I guess I'm making a gin cocktail. So I've been drinking gin.
Oh, that's wild.
Yeah, I'm drinking liquor here and hitting a pen, but you know, yeah, we're getting here. So wait, where were we about the film?
What's your gin cocktail?
So the gin cocktail I made was something with like some brandy, I know. And it was this special I mixed around everything that was here in this bar. It has like Grand Marnier in it, gin. I put some Topo Chico in and brandy and some lemon.
Okay, that sounds refreshing.
I mean, it's a concoction of different. I don't think if I saw this in the menu at a bar, I'd order it, but I just got what I could here in this fridge.
What do you think about, okay, wait, back up. Am I allowed to ask you this? Tell me about the girl you punched in college. Cause like you,
oh my gosh. Yes. You're allowed to ask me.
You tweeted getting my nails done or whatever. And then wait, by the way, did someone Venmo you for your mani-pedi?
No jerks. But my dad Venmo'd me today because I told him I felt sick and he was like, well, go buy some soup. And I was like, oh, well, I get paid tomorrow. So I guess, you know, I'll just use this to get a mani-pedi since no one wanted to send it.
Yeah, no. Okay. I loved that you asked first and foremost. Secondly, you said like, I just saw that bitch I punched in college while I was getting my nails done.
So I will say I don't fight. I've never fought, but my boyfriend cheated on me with someone in college and I was pretty drunk still the next morning. And I saw her waiting. He was my next door neighbor. So bad. He was my next door neighbor. And I remember he went to go grab I knew he had an 8 a.m. So I woke up early, still drunk, like, I'm going to see who's bringing him home. And there was this girl in the car waiting and she locked the door because she saw me coming down, angry Marissa, still drunk. And
I opened up,
dude, this is not me at all. So when people hear this, they're like, what? Like, you've done this before? And I was like, yeah, I don't know how I did this either. She had her window halfway and I said, open the door. And she's like, she knew who I was. And she's like, no, I'm not going to. And I was like, my boyfriend literally slept in your bed last night. Like, open the fucking door. She refused to open it. I stuck my hand inside where the window was, because again, it was halfway closed, halfway open. And I opened the door myself and I just kind of punched her in the face.
God fucking, that's what Katie should have done. Okay.
Yeah, I know. Like, Katie did not get this. She was so strong. Why did she not do anything?
You're right. Probably because Katie knows. See, I feel like I go to fighting in my mind as like an anxiety thing where I've never like fought with, I've never gotten into a physical fight with anyone, but I go to fighting in my mind a lot of like, okay, well, if I have to, I guess I'll defend myself physically, but I know I could never do that. I would fall like immediately. I would get my ass kicked, but like, I love that you followed through on that. Like, is it okay to punch people? No. But if you're going to punch someone, you probably should have punched him. But like, I understand that rage too, especially you're young. You just got hurt. Like probably, I don't know, hopefully for the first time that badly. Like, yeah, I'd fuck it up. Absolutely. Like, I don't blame anyone for that at all. No.
Well, he got a good punching. I was also, like I mentioned, I was still drunk when I hit her, and if you know, she, I don't know if she'll hear this, I apologize that I did that to you, but come on, you knew he was dating me. That sucked too.
Yeah, that's the thing about the other woman, you know, so to speak, right? Like, in some ways, like, no, it's, she's not to blame for it. She's not to blame. It's on the guy. But sometimes there's people where it's like, you fucking know better, bitch, you know better. Like, and also, he's not that great that you would need to, you know, like, don't be foolish. You don't need to like ruin your life over this man. So Katie's unpacking one of Dan's bags from a trip. And she sees, like, first of all, it's like this teal green shirt that, like, I don't know, like, if, I mean, is Dan going to like Miami gay clubs in the 80s? Like, this teal shirt was like so out of, I don't know, anything I would imagine for Dan, especially in a work scenario. But there's like this perfect lipstick print on one of the collars. It looks like, I mean, it looks like a girl who's trying to get him caught, the way that lipstick was.
The intentional lip smear.
Mm-hmm. And so she also finds like a loose earring and she's like, fuck. So she goes to help her sister at her shop. And basically, like, it's a very short scene. I think they just put it in there to, like, diversify shit. But, like, her sister basically suggests, like, keep your eye on Louisa. Okay. So when she gets home, Dan has set up this romantic dinner for her. And he has a gift for her. It's a necklace. And right away, I mean, anyone with fucking eyes knows that it's exactly the same as the earrings. But she doesn't have that reaction at all. Like, immediately, I'd be like, oh, is that what this is? Like, you know, but... He tells her that he lost one of the earrings. She brings it to him. They sort of like have this moment of, I don't know, I guess rekindling. She gives it up easy. I would have like, I would be like, we're still not talking, but thank you for the necklace. Like, absolutely not. So we cut to a flashback of Louisa. This is like Katie's having a dream. Louisa's breaking into the house. She's planting lipstick on the collar. There's this like realization that Louisa was the woman who ran her down in the park. She got cramps from that smoothie. Louisa slashes Katie with a knife. And like, obviously, you know, this is where the dreams escalated to the part where she wakes up. So Katie's golfing by herself the next day. I mean, come on. Like, I actually do feel bad now. Now that you pointed, she has no friends. So she's golfing by herself and Louisa rolls up and she tried to make a plan to like plan to hang, but she's like, no, I'm super busy. And it's like, Katie, no, you're not. You don't have friends. So Dan and Katie are in formal wear and Katie's doing the dishes in preparation for a dinner party that night. And this is a little scene between the two of them, 56:43 to 57:38.
Can I ask you something?
Yeah, sure. What's up?
When you first met Louisa, what happened?
We met at a New Year's Eve party. Yeah. We went out a few times after that. And that was it. I don't know. I wasn't really feeling it.
Do you think she was feeling it?
Hey, listen. That was a long time ago. All right? There's nothing to worry about. I love you. All right? We're about to have a party. Let's not do this, okay?
No, you're right. Let's go.
All right, we gotta get ready.
All right.
He's so lame.
He is so lame. They're both really lame.
Yeah.
Louisa's the most exciting thing that's ever happened to them, if I'm being honest.
She really is.
Am I team Louisa all of a sudden? But yeah, Louisa's watching the dinner party from a laptop and she like makes a carpet cleaner smoothie, which is unclear. Like, I guess... I don't know. And then Finn comes in and he's like, are you making a mojito for me? And she's like, no.
Also, whose go-to is like mojito? Like he says mojito.
I know. He says mojito. But also like who puts that's not a blender drink.
No.
Like, it's a green juice, you idiot. Like
they like say like a daiquiri or something.
Those are the things like the crock pot thing earlier where I'm like, oh my God, change it for the... Like now that it's like the script doesn't match up with the props department, change it.
They don't though.
And so, yeah, he basically like sees that she's puts this like bottle under the sink. And so he like checks it really quickly after when he's alone in the room. So the doorbell rings in the middle of the party and Dan answers the door. It's very unclear as to whether or not they're invited because
I thought that same thing too.
Katie's making a tight face, but she like is like, come sit down. But like, meanwhile, she looks so fucking perturbed and is like giving every other woman at the table, like the eye, you know what I mean? Being like, look at this bitch.
Yeah.
So after dinner, they're cleaning up in the kitchen and Dan's washing the dishes. And suddenly he feels like these arms wrap around him. And when he turns around, it's Louisa. I'm like, duh. Like, I don't think Katie hugs you from the back, dude. I don't think that's like Katie's style. Obviously it's her. And so she walks in, sees it. She assumes the worst. And Dan chases her upstairs, basically like pounding on the door, begging her to like come in and explain what happened. But she's like, nope, I saw what I saw. Her bag is packed. She's going to her sister's house. And she's like, I feel like you're encouraging Louisa and that you like the attention. She goes, you said you never finished it with her. Now's your chance. So Louisa has this like mixture of like shock and thrill going on inside of her. Truthfully, she's like kind of loving it, because she did want to separate the two of them. But Dan is also like clearly repulsed by her, which is not the update she was hoping for.
Again, like we said, Louise is the best thing that's happened to their life. She's probably so like, you all should be thanking me that I'm bringing this much excitement to your life.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, she's hiring an escort to pull a prank on them. I don't know if it's like, I don't know if it's a prank, but like, I mean, Louise is really like doing something. She's making strong decisions where it seems like this family does not make any strong decisions on their own. And so for that, I have to say shout out. Louisa, I never thought I'd come around on you. But when she gets back to her place, Finn is waiting for her. And I mean, this is doesn't help sex worker lore, but he's going to basically proposition her 102.54 to 103.30.
So the smoothie in the fridge for Katie, for your run.
I'm going to bed.
Do you know what carpet cleaner can do when you drink it in small doses?
Good night, Finn.
It kills. I didn't sign up for this.
We have a deal.
No, we had a deal. I'm gonna need more money.
Okay. I did think Finn was gonna be, I thought he was being genuine. And it turns out he just wants money.
Well, I'm starting to like not, yes, he wants money, but so back to when they first meet and he's like, you're so beautiful. Like he's telling Katie that, and now he's like talking about the carpet cleaner. I'm like, where, like, what does he know and what does he not know is what I was curious about.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, she might have just said something like appeal to her ego or something, you know, I don't know if she was like hoping to long game it to the point that like Finn was hooking up with Katie or something, but yeah. I think maybe they were just trying to like poke some insecurity in the marriage. But at the same time, I'm also like, you know what, Finn? Why not just take the money? Why not be like, all right, if you're going to murder her, fine, but
enjoy the ride.
I'm going to need an extra, you know, 15,000.
Yeah.
She has money. Where's this? Someone must have died. I think that this woman is like a career killer and that she's like got all this money from somewhere.
Maybe she inherited old man Jenkins' money that passed away in the first scene.
Poor fucking son of a bitch. So
I know.
Yeah, Louisa like hauls his body into her bedroom, which is a mess. I kind of loved that it's like, I mean, this is a person who only plans what she's going to wear all day. Like her whole room is covered in clothing, like as if it's her job to change her clothes.
She just wears workout attire.
I know. Well, I mean, it's kind of like refreshing, honestly, that someone's a little bit of a pack rat on Lifetime, because usually these rooms are so sterile. She says to herself, this wasn't the plan. So she like flashes back to earlier that night and all of the other times that Dan basically rejected her. So she opens up the drawer next to her and she finds the knife that Dan lost in his bedside table. So she has it and she uses it to stab Finn and creates a little Caroline Calloway-esque tableau on top of him with these like fake flowers and like this like semi-broken vase that like is definitely from 99 cent store. And she practices her 911 call before she calls and actually calls it in. So in the morning, she's meeting with the detectives, 105.44 to 107.08.
Miss Cher, can you tell me what happened again?
My neighbor Dan walked in on us in bed together and he went crazy.
And the deceased?
Finn Cooper, my new boyfriend.
Now, why would your neighbor kill your boyfriend?
Honestly, it's all my fault.
Why, ma'am?
Dan wanted me to move into the house next door, to be close to him. I told him that it was a terrible idea.
And then he came by last night?
Yes.
How did he get in?
Well, he has a key.
Now, you had been at a party next door?
Right. But that was earlier. When I woke up, Dan was standing over Finn, and I tried to help him, but then he struck me, and I blacked out.
And when you came to?
Well, I called you.
Okay. Do you mind if Detective Evans and I take a look around upstairs?
Please.
She just looks kooky. I don't like that word, like assigned to, I hate it actually, especially like past a certain age, you know, kooky's a rough word, but she has this like, the detectives are believing her way too much.
And she's new to the neighborhood. Like, don't you think they would know Dan and Katie for a while?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
It's suspicious. Like someone just passed away in that house. And now, I mean, everything is suspicious about this, but no one gives it like a blink or a second glance at anything.
There's been three deaths in the last like month, not to mention, you know, she gave Finn's real name. And as much as I'd like to say, like, there's nothing wrong with that, like that he's a sex, the second they Google him or whatever, they're going to find out that he is a sex worker.
Yeah.
And that's gonna, I would say, tidy up the investigation pretty quickly. Like, I think, you know, you can go from A to B there pretty quickly, but the dudes are cleaning up the scene. The cops are cleaning up the scene. And like, there's all these shirts of Dan's at Louise's house. It doesn't make sense. So they want to talk to Patrick, who's like out on the street being like, I've got information. So he says that they're clearly having an affair, Dan and Louisa. He parks his car over there so his wife can't see. I don't know what that's about. He brings her flowers and Katie won't leave the son of a bitch because he's got her under his thumb. She had bruises all over last week. So the detectives, their interest is piqued by the potential domestic violence and they get together a warrant, like literally a couple hours later, and they go arrest Dan on the green where he's golfing. And I don't know, I guess I'm surprised that Dan's out golfing again. This time by himself, he's not even with Josh. Like, it's like, dude, your marriage is falling apart and you're golfing.
I feel like that's just any guy now, honestly.
I know. My internet boyfriend, Telly, loves golf, but I don't think he'd ever treat me like that. So Dan insists that they're making this mistake, but he doesn't want to hear it. So he's being questioned and he tells the cops that he didn't do this. His wife and him got into a fight last night. But this is absolutely a setup. He went out with Louisa a few times way back, but it was nothing. The detectives are like, why are your clothes in her bedroom? You know, you've had more than one chance to be honest and your fingerprints were all over the knife. He's like, I want my phone call. So Katie and her sister are talking at the art shop and I'm like, why are you doing this here? I mean, I guess there's nowhere else to go, but if I was a sister, I would have like politely closed my shop that day. And she's like, I just know Dan wouldn't murder someone. I just know Dan. Her sister's like, how do you know? And she's like, I don't know. I just know my husband wouldn't murder someone. So she's like, I'm going to go home and get some stuff. And her sister's like, I'm going to do it for you. I don't want you going back there with Louisa. So her sister's waiting in traffic and a big SUV comes up behind her and rear ends her. And she's seriously injured in the hospital. It's so quick. It goes so quickly. She's seriously injured in the hospital. And then the doctor comes in to the hospital room and tells Katie that the detective is there and needs to talk to her. So this is their little moment at the hospital. Like, why couldn't they call her out to the hallway? Like, this sister's like maybe in a coma, like listening to this drama. Like, I don't know.
But also, like, how this, before you play, like, everything in this city, like, it's a country club area. How far is everything from each other? Like, this is like a 5-mile radius.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I mean, it's not a lot. You're right. It's not a lot. Are you saying because of like all of these injuries or just like?
Well, like it's because like they're either at the golf course, their house, the art shop, or like that one bar. Like it doesn't seem like, it also seems like they're in a shell of a neighborhood. You know, like some people just stay in that area and don't kind of resort out to anywhere else. Like that is what because their life is just kind of boring. That this You're is right. what they do.
Yeah, it feels like Katie doesn't have like any cultural touchstones or anything. Like, you know what I mean? Like she should be traveling or something, especially if he's gone all the time and they don't have kids. Like get out of the house, girl. Like go to another country by yourself for a couple of weeks. I don't, you know.
Yeah.
But yeah, so there's this scene right here, 1:12:31 to 1:15:03.
I know this is a difficult time. But if you're up to it, the detective would like to ask you a few questions.
About my sister.
And your husband. Next. Well, Miss Cher believes that your husband is trying to kill you so that the two of them can be together.
Kill me? Nothing's going on between them.
So you are aware that they had been involved before?
It was just a few dates.
We found traces of perchloroethylene and ammonium hydroxide in containers in your kitchen cabinets. Now, normally these chemicals are found in household cleaning products, but they are poisonous.
So?
So we could have put it in your coffee, perhaps the food you eat.
The smoothies.
Smoothies, sure. Now, your sister was driving your car at the time of the accident, yes?
Correct.
We have a witness who saw the other vehicle deliberately run at full speed into the car your sister was driving. Now, we think this could have been a professional hit that had been intended for you. Now, one of your neighbors said that they saw Dan leave Louise's home a couple of weeks ago. Do you know why he was there?
I need to talk to my husband right now. Are you okay?
Yeah.
Did you ever go over there?
Yeah, I went over there to ask her why the hell she moved in right next door. I didn't think it was just a coincidence, but then she assured me that it was. And then she started following me wherever I went. Like, she showed up at the grocery store, the golf course. She said she loved the neighborhood and that she fell in love with the house. And what else could I do?
She's never gotten over you.
You think?
We have to get you out of this mess. I should have never left that night.
Look, it's not your fault.
What did you do after I left?
Nothing. I was at home. Which means I don't have an alibi. Look, I even texted you before I went to sleep. But what good is that?
I don't know. I'll find something. Some way, somehow.
Look, you be careful. She's dangerous.
I have to go.
I love you.
I love you.
I love you. All right?
Oh my gosh. I think
the confrontation.
Yeah. What would you do?
Well, I don't know what I would do. I would just be like, why is there so much drama in our lives now? Like, well, I would know why there was so much drama in our lives.
It's too much. I'd say, like, this is like, you know, if we're getting you out of jail, I don't know. I think I'd be too pissed to put my little palm on the glass and wait for his to hit it, you know, on the other side. I don't think I would do that with him right now. I'd feel bad that he was in jail, but I'd be like, well, this is going to be a massive learning lesson for you, Dan. Like, you could have just handled your business, but now you're being falsely accused of murder.
Yeah. He didn't handle anything the right way, or he has at least hasn't handled anything the proper way.
Yeah. That's why you don't ghost people, Dan. Just do the adult thing and make a phone call and just say, hey, I don't think I can pursue this any longer. So Katie makes herself some dinner and decides it's finally time to Google Louisa. just classic. So she comes up as Gatewood when you search her name, it like auto corrects to Gatewood. And she has a verified Facebook page, which like absolutely pulled me out of this.
Yeah.
It is a very model-y Facebook page. You know, maybe she's like doing OnlyFans.
Also, this is my like 5 minutes into meeting someone. This took them like what? It took her like a week and a half to Google her. I'm like 5 minutes in, like, I'm going to look at your Venmo. I'm going to see, you know, have y'all been talking lately? What else can I learn about you? This took her an arrest.
No, it took her husband being falsely accused of murder for her to like be like, oh, maybe I should type her name into this thing. Like, come on, girl. But yes, she burns her dinner again and she checks the smoke alarm and she realizes at that point there's a camera in there. So she sneaks over to Louisa's, and the way she was sneaking, it was like the way a cartoon sneaks. Like, she was so exaggerated. It was like very Scooby-Doo. The way she was sort of like had a hunched back and kept like lifting her feet so high off the ground. Like, she was, it was insane. It like, and it's like, babe, they're going to put music in. Like, you don't need to sell it that hard. But
and meanwhile, Louisa just like walks over to her house with a hoodie on.
Yeah, Louisa in the fucking clear blue day, dude. She's out there like with Patrick and all that shit. Like, where was Patrick when Louisa was repeatedly breaking into their house in the middle of the day?
He's like conveniently not there at all.
So Katie's like, just, she goes right in, she digs around, she finds the spare key that Louisa took from her sister in this like junk drawer in the kitchen. And she goes up to the bedroom and she finds Louisa's laptop, and there's this little cat and mouse game. Louise is going to come in right then. And Katie is like able to thankfully sneak out of the house, but it's very close. Louisa just like, she realizes her computer is gone. And that's when she's like, all right, I need to do something. So Katie, though, she's back at the house and she's realizing, oh, like she can see the first video of Louisa planting the cameras. And that's when she realizes like, oh shit. And finally, she finds a little video that exonerates Dan of him like drunk. Cause after the party, when she left, he like got in bed with like a Heineken and like passed out. And she finds the video of him like passing out with this beer. So she brings it to the detective and is like, look at the timestamp, you know, and the way she says, look at the timestamp, it's so obviously dubbed in. Like it was like the script didn't make sense or something. And so they were like, in order for this to make sense, you have to point out that it's the timestamp. So the detective's like, well, that doesn't mean they're not in on this together. So Dan, anyway, for some reason, they were able to like completely go around the legal process and just like release him from jail that night. So,
well, I was going to say also, like, she snuck into the house and acquired this evidence. Wouldn't this not be able to be used to release him? That's like all illegal.
That's a really good point. That is a really good
point. That's what I was waiting for. But then again, I was like, oh, it's a Lifetime. They're not going to actually really get, like, I'm not watching an episode of Law and Order right now.
No, you're so right. Because like, I mean, Louisa did lie to the cops and say that Dan had a key to the house. But I feel like the only way you could get away with something like this potentially is if you had a key.
Yeah.
Because then like, I guess, you know, it's a standing invitation that you're allowed there. But a computer, I feel like, is an even more complicated device because everyone's own electronics are, I think, like potentially like would be treated separate than the rest of their house. So Louisa has like let herself into their bedroom while all of this is going on. She brought the red dress she wore on that date and she imagines Dan coming up behind her and telling her she looks beautiful. And Katie's like back at the house by herself. Dan apparently is driving his own car back from the impound place, which is like, can you guys just go do that tomorrow? Like, I feel like he's been through enough. He doesn't have to like also get his car up from impound. And while she's talking to the detective's like, you just have to, you know, we don't have an arrest warrant issued for her yet. Just, we don't know exactly where she is, but consider her armed and dangerous. And Katie's like, no big deal. And then she goes, wait a minute. There's someone upstairs. I got to go. And so she hangs up on the, I'm like, girl, keep the detectives on the phone. Like, yeah, what? So she walks into her room and sees Louisa there. This is like one of the big final fight scene. 12510 to 12605.
What are you doing in my home? I know it's hard to hear, but Dan and I belong together. You're crazy. I know you killed Finn and Mart.
I don't know what you're talking about.
When are you going to get it through your head? He doesn't want you.
So yeah, basically the fight was quick. Katie pushed her down the stairs. It seems like she's dead. Katie like walks out to the porch. The cops are pulling up right when she's like, you know, she's sort of sitting there. It seems like a couple minutes and they're like, keep your hands where we can see them. Dan's like rolling up to the house, fresh out of jail, like cruising, probably thinking about having a Heineken and some chips or something when he gets in. And he sees this fucking scene and she just tells him, you know, Louisa was there. I pushed her down the stairs and Dan's like, but wait, are you okay? And I'm like, nice priority for once, Dan. Yeah, finally. She's fine. Yeah. Like I wouldn't be able to let my like significant other. I wouldn't like if I like as if I would do anything to protect a guy, but like I wouldn't let my boyfriend go back to a house by himself. If we'd just been through that, I'd be like, no, neither of us are going there alone. We have to stick together or maybe just buy a new house. I don't know.
Yeah. So, and as lame as he was, I'd want to be protected also.
Yeah. No, are you kidding me? That's a huge priority for me. I'm like, I couldn't do anything. I'd be completely defenseless. So Patrick is watching and like taking all of this in from across the street. And then we cut to a prison. Inmate 562 has a package and she opens it. It's Louisa. And she opens it. It's a coloring book and I guess a copy of Katie's newest book. And the note says, Louisa, practice makes perfect and you have plenty of time. Melanie, is that the sister?
I guess. I thought like, I was like, who? I couldn't even make out what the M was, but it is Melanie, right? Yeah, I think, let's see IMDb. I think that should be the sister.
I think that's a little like cunty retribution on the sister's part, which be like, I just wish anyone would stand up for her the way that her sister just did with that little like cunty move. Yeah.
Yeah. That's Melanie's a sister. Yeah. Yeah. I just saw that.
I mean, it's kind of, I don't know. I wish that these people were driving their story more, you know, that's like a thing with like movie writing, right? Is like, you don't want to read a script where like the main character is just having everything happen to them. Like they need to be active in their own environment. And that's like my thing with Katie, this whole movie is that everything's sort of just happening to her. And it's different than other Lifetime movies because like typically they'll throw in like a, you know, like something got worse in the situation because of the character's actions or they overreact or they make a strong decision. Like Katie's just sort of experiencing it all. And it's really off. I mean, that's how you wind up siding with the villain. So Louisa has like a meltdown in her cell. It's kind of campy. And we cut to like a little book party / celebration of Melanie's shop being open for a while. And Katie's very pregnant. And they use like, they're like, by the way, like speaking of things to be excited about, and they walk over to this, like, I don't know, poster board that has a piece of cloth on it and they pull it off and it's like, it's a girl and it's a caricature. It's like a boardwalk caricature.
Oh my gosh. I know.
The three of them and like what they hypothesize their baby daughter will look like. And then
that's some like amusement park shit right there.
That's what I was thinking. Like they might've just hired someone who illustrates at that level, which like is pretty impressive because these people draw all fucking day long. But I think they probably just hired someone to do all the art who like traditionally does something like that.
I just want to know who wrote that in there.
The poster.
The caricature.
Like, yeah. The
photo.
I mean, the worst part though is there's so many of these movies that are based on like sort of the premise of one or both of the main people being an artist, and they're always so bad. Like it looks like you would fail like art two your senior year if you handed in half of this shit. But then this is the line that I've been waiting for this whole movie. Okay. Dan walks
homeboy's line, right? This is homeboy's line, his friend.
Yeah.
The one you were talking about.
Okay. Yeah. So Dan's like, oh, are you guys going to get started? And his friend goes, we've got a play date. You want to watch? And I'm like, are you cucking?
What? Like, this I don't remember this part.
It was very subtle. It was like almost like the music started to drown it out, but I just caught it. And Dan's like, dude. And he like laughs. Like, I'm like, are you offering to let him come over and watch him, like watch him fuck his wife?
Why did I not catch this part?
It was so minor because it's like the music had started to swell, like the girls were congratulating each other in the background. So it's like, it was sort of like a buried, it wasn't even a real line. If I have to be honest, I'm sure it was like improvised, but it just was like, it's almost that weird actor thing where it's like, no, that's not how normal people talk. Like, calm down. Like that's like actually like a little too loosey goosey to be like,
interesting ending to this film.
I know. I mean, I didn't think Louisa was gonna live.
I didn't think so. I thought she was dead when she was there on the stairs.
I thought she was dead too. I'm shocked she lived. I'm and by the way, they're also operating potentially under some sort of assumption that she's had a trial, because like when we see her, she's in prison. Like that's prison. Jail is like very different. So like they already, I mean, I guess in the time that she got knocked up.
Well, because my thought too was like, they don't hand you your packages like that because, right? I mean, they give her the crayons, the coloring book. Like, aren't they gonna, sometimes they can see that some of these objects can be used as weapons, so they won't give you a complete package like that, right? I don't know anything about prison, jail.
Yeah, like, I mean, I just know that prison, yeah, I mean, it would be, you could probably get a package like that easier in prison. I also know that in prison, she probably wouldn't be like in solitary like that or like have her own cell. She's not Hannibal Lecter.
She'd be like in a psych ward.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's not like, she's not, there's plenty of women in prison for doing shit exactly that crazy.
What are her charges? Like I you know, we'll never get that far in lifetime.
I wonder if they got her for like the death of the old man and the cleaning lady Alice too. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. I wish someone in this movie would make a fucking decision though, besides Louisa. This has on IMDb, this is rated currently 4.9 out of 10. I always see that number. I mean, the reviews are really not great. Let me just really quickly peep IMDb, like the goofs and trivia before we wrap it up.
What do you Risa, give
thank
this?
Thank you so much for doing this.
Oh, thank you for asking me.
What do I think of this? Did you ask?
Yeah, like 4.9. What do you give it?
I mean, this isn't bad enough to have like, I don't know, like that. I just always think it's so random. Actually, let me check and see what the reviews on Amazon are. Cause I have a theory that people who are like involved try to get over to Amazon and rate them as soon as possible, because IMDb is just like, that's what the public goes to when they want to review something, I think. But on Amazon, it has 3 stars. I mean, listen, I don't know. I would give it like a, I mean, for me, that's just because the lead character doesn't have any agency. I would have to give it like a, I don't know, a 3.5 or a 4. I mean,
yeah, I'd give it a 4 too.
But then sometimes I see some of the worst Lifetime movies ever and they have a pretty decent average. I don't see any like trivia or goofs. I mean, babe, we're both sort of hanging on for dear fucking life here, but I had so much fun with you. Can we, if you are ever in LA again, or if I'm in Austin, can we hang out?
Yes, I will actually be in LA in May.
Oh, I'm so excited. We have to hang.
We have to. We'll definitely meet up. Yeah, and if you're in town too. Well, I'm going to be in Pasadena for a festival. Thankfully, it's a one day. I cannot make a fucking 3-day festival for the life of me.
No.
It's called Just Like Heaven. I'm sure you've heard of it. So I think it's only happened like maybe 2 to 3 times. It's like a super like the lineup is like MIA Block Party. Like, you know, it's that early 2000s alternative indie rock. It's more alt rock, isn't it?
Yeah.
So it's going to be one day. It's on a Saturday. I'm going to probably fly in on a Thursday, leave a Monday.
Well, I live in Glendale. Yeah. I'm right next to Pasadena, babe. So I would love to hang. Let's go get some dinner. Oh my God. Delicious.
We should. And if you come to Austin, I mean, it's South by Week right now, which I'm hiding from. I'm like out in the hill country of Austin right now. Thank God. But I don't mind.
Yeah, no, I love Austin. That's why I was like, oh, I probably did meet you like actually at a bar. Like I was like, I'm sure she's a bathroom girl. Like, you know, those girls you meet that you're just like, here, give me your number. Let's follow each other. And then you never speak again. Like, I was like, oh, I wouldn't be surprised if that's how I've met her, because I feel like we followed each other for so long.
I'm surprised either. I have one friend that told me, he's like, I'm surprised you stayed following me. I was like, why wouldn't I? You're funny as fuck. Like, I don't unfollow people. I'm glad we have each other on Twitter.
There's nothing that I hate more than having to like get, if someone pushes me to the point where I have to unfollow, I'm like, you fucked up, because I'll stay following just about anyone, but
you know, I'll ride to the end.
My algorithm favors you. You know, I feel like we're in a great place, girl. This was a fucking blast.
I know. Thank this so was much. Too.
All right, you guys, we will talk to you next week. Have a good one. Be safe. Bye. Bye.
Are you thinking about getting into Dungeons & Dragons? Maybe you're looking to expand your horizons as a DM or a player. If that's the case, then it's time for you to check out The Dungeon Cast, the best D&D podcast out there that helps you passively learn all about the game just by listening. Join co-hosts Will and Brian as they break down the lore of a rich multiverse 50 years in the making in a lighthearted and beginner-friendly way. They cover everything from character creation options to tips for dungeon masters. There's something for everyone, no matter how long you've been playing TTRPGs. Get inspired while learning all about the unique planes of existence. Get the in-depth knowledge you need to help your combat encounters feel impactful, or learn about the origins and pantheons of every race and class the game offers. No stone is left unturned as every edition of the game is explored and explained in a way that benefits players of all different levels of experience. You can expand your TTRPG horizons in a way that's as entertaining as it is educational just by listening. All you have to do is go to your favorite podcast app or YouTube and search for The Dungeon Cast.